Lows overnight will range from the single digits across northern Iowa and southern Wisconsin to the upper 20s across southeastern Missouri and western Kentucky. The forecast from the National Weather Service for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high of 29 and a light southeast wind. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low 17. The wind will be light and out of the northwest. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 28 and a wind out of the northwest from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 14 and a west wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow flurries, the high 28 and the wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night and Friday, mostly cloudy with a low Thursday night of 19 and a high Friday of 32. The outlook for Friday night and Saturday, mostly cloudy with a low Friday night in the mid-20s and a high Saturday in the mid-30s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 20s to the low 30s, most locations reporting cloudy skies. In Chicago and Bloomington, normal 27. It was 26 at Peoria, 24 at Mattoon, 31 in Carbondale. South Bend reported 27 degrees, as did Indianapolis, 24 at Lafayette, 23 at Terre Haute. Willard Airport reported 25 degrees and cloudy skies at the top of the hour. The dew point 22, the relative humidity 88%, the wind calm, and the barometer 30.13 and falling. And at 12:39, it's 28 degrees on the campus of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. The skies are cloudy. For less than $100 a year, members of Sam's Club can get a personalized health prevention plan. They also get two health coaching sessions, access to a 24/7 hotline, and online health tracking tools. It's the latest effort by Walmart, which owns Sam Club, to push further into the health field. NPR's Nathan Rott explains how it works.
It's called the Prevention Plan.
What if there was a way to get on a path to better health?
And it's being called Big Business's newest way to crack into the healthcare field. It's not health insurance or a placement for the doctor, just a personalized prevention plan or health screening, at least for the people that can get it online. Here's how it works. You buy a kit through the internet from Sam's Club for $99. You then start by filling out an extensive health questionnaire, like you would at a doctor. Next, you mail a small blood sample, which you collect at home using the finger stick that comes with your kit, and then you send that information to U.S. Preventive Medicine, a company headed by Christopher Fay.
Our technology actually digests all that information, analyzes it, and then turns it into a plan for you based on your current conditions, based on your family history, based on the facts you have given us.
That plan will tell you your health risks and give you online recommendations. The idea being you catch a little something, like high cholesterol, before it becomes a big something, like a full-blown heart attack. It's based on preventive medicine, a theory that most physicians support, and the idea isn't exactly new. As Benjamin Franklin said in the 1700s, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But now the idea is being packaged, marketed, and sold by a major retailer.
Healthcare consumes a huge fraction of our U.S. GDP, and so obviously there's a lot of money there.
That's Ativ Mehrotra. He's an analyst at the RAND Corporation and a professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. He says retailers have long looked at cracking into the multi-billion-dollar healthcare industry. Minute clinics, eye clinics, pharmacies, all are different attempts to do just that. The prevention plan, Mehrotra says, seems like just the latest stab at it.
The idea of retailers entering the prevention area, I think, is really interesting and innovative. If we can provide those prevention services closer to where they work, live, or shop, I think that's a really exciting trend.
But Mehrotra does have some concerns about the necessity of running blood tests on people with no symptoms. Other critics worry that it will give people without a doctor or insurance a false sense of security. Also, many of the people who need health care are poor and lack the online skills needed for the plan. And from a business standpoint, it's hard to say whether it'll be lucrative or not. Walmart, the parent company of Sam's Club, hasn't found much profit in selling cheap prescription drugs. And analysts say minute clinics at stores like CVS and Walgreens haven't made much money either. Sam's Club officials say that profits aren't the focus, though. Club members say health care is one of their top three concerns, and this is a service to help them address that. But do customers really want healthcare help from the place they buy their toilet paper? Outside the Sam's Club in Waldorf, Maryland, customers have mixed feelings. Barbara Johnson's cart is loaded with groceries and paper towels. She'd rather the stores focus on items like that. Let doctors deal with the health care.
I mean, it's just like, if you needed a car, would you come here to buy a car, or would you go to a dealership?
Jerry Ward disagrees. There's a health care gap, she says, and if nobody else is going to fill it, why not retailers?
Makes sense. I mean, capitalism. Everybody wants what? To make the money. And if you can make the money and serve the people, that's a good thing.
The product is only online now, but all members will get to make their own decisions when it hits shelves this May. Nathan Rott, NPR News, Washington.
Perhaps no president in American history celebrated the arts more visibly than John Kennedy. The Performing Arts Center that bears his name is staging a star-studded arts festival to commemorate the 50th anniversary of his inauguration. NPR's Nina Totenberg has that story.
For those of a certain age, the image is tattooed on memory.
Inauguration Day dawns on a capital that had been almost paralyzed by a full-fledged blizzard.
The sky was so crystal clear, the white snow so dazzling, and the glare of the sun so blinding that poet laureate Robert Frost couldn't read the poem he'd composed for the event. So he put aside the wind-ruffled pages and recited from memory another of his poems, The Gift Outright.
The land was ours before we were the land. She was our land more than 100 years before we were her people.
He was the first poet asked to recite at an inaugural, a harbinger of things to come. President Kennedy spoke often of the need to promote the arts in our civilization. Here he is, just a month before his death.
I look forward to an America which will reward achievement in the arts as we reward achievement in business or statecraft.
Kennedy Center President Michael Kaiser.
The Kennedys really believed that the people who make art, the people who write books, the people who have great scientific thoughts, had a very important role to play in society, and they honored them by putting a spotlight on them.
Remember, this was a time when there were virtually no regional theaters or dance companies or operas. There was no government support for the arts or humanities, no national endowment for the arts. Indeed, in the nation's capital, Congress had only just appropriated money to build a cultural center, a center that would, when it came to fruition, be called the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. 50 years later, the center is celebrating that pivotal moment for arts in America. The project has been on the drawing board for 5 years under Michael Kaiser's direction.
You can never be encyclopedic in a festival, so you start to think about highlights.
The events taking place include a new symphonic work featuring the words of President Kennedy, with Morgan Freeman and Richard Dreyfuss narrating. Performances by the American Ballet Theater, the organization that Mrs. Kennedy chaired until her death. Exhibits featuring the work of artists with disabilities, because the Kennedys were such proponents of opportunity for the disabled. And events featuring young artists, from tap dancers to musicians like Esperanza Spalding.
Why must you wonder? Heaven isn't far.
Though the Kennedy presidency would be a shooting star in the galaxy of history, it would light up the arts in America as never before. And no event would more symbolize that than the White House concert played by cellist Pablo Casals, by then almost 85 years old. A Spanish exile, Casals had refused for years to play publicly in the United States or any country that recognized the Spanish government of dictator Francisco Franco. But now Kennedy sent an emissary to Casals' home in Puerto Rico to see if the cellist would relent and play at the White House. Casals' widow, Marta Casals Estoman, says her late husband struggled with the invitation and finally sent this letter to the president.
May the music that I will play for you and for your friends symbolize my deep feelings for the American people and the faith and confidence we all have in you as leader of the free world.
On a November night in 1961, a glittering audience of women in ball gowns and men in white tie and tails gathered at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Among the guests was Alice Roosevelt Longworth, the daughter of Teddy Roosevelt, the last president for whom Casals had performed more than a half century earlier, at the dawn of the 20th century. And there were all the big names in American music, composers from Leonard Bernstein to Aaron Copland, conductors from Eugene Ormandy to Leopold Stokowski.
There was electricity. There was something that people were here for something important.
Casal's widow, Marta.
I was nervous because so many emotions at the same time. Casals was 85 years old, although I knew he was all right. But, you know, these emotions can sometimes affect you. When I heard the first few notes, I knew it was going to be all right.
At the end of the program, there was silence. Then explosive applause.
Then Casals walked over to the president, and Casals said, "Now I will play for you the Song of the Birds, which for me means my nostalgia for my country and my hope for freedom and peace."
So emotional was the moment that you can occasionally hear Casal's voice, a sound close to a small cry. The next morning, a photograph of the concert would be emblazoned across the front page of the New York Times. Kennedy Center President Kaiser was a boy then, but he remembers the excitement generated by that concert.
It affected the way all of us viewed culture. This was the most glamorous event of the year. It was a cello recital.
And it's a recital that will be duplicated tonight at the Kennedy Center with cellist Yo-Yo Ma playing the pieces that Casals played on that night in 1961. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Every month, 170 million Americans use public media. That's like everyone who lives west of the Mississippi.
Plus everyone in New York and Florida. More than half the country uses public media to be informed, engaged, and inspired. Now, public media needs your support.
Learn more about federal funding for public media at 170 million.